though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things, those better things that belong to salvation. If we need anything tonight, we need salvation. Children of God are in possession of that. Thank God that His children are in possession of salvation. It's not something out there somewhere. It's something right here today, and we want to be better. This quarter, in our Bible reading, in our daily Bible reading, our emphasis in our thinking about all of that reading that we're going to do is better in our community. Do you think those towns in Louisiana, in Minnesota, in St. Louis, so many others, Dallas is the most recent community, do you think things need to be better? Our world needs to be better. And that starts with me. Am I willing to be better? Am I willing to love you more? Am I willing to love God more? Am I willing to be better in looking at life in the way that Christ would and live out this theme verse for the quarter that Billy read just a little while ago? Let's do good to everyone. I have just recently been doing a little bit of research on purity, and I plan to preach a sermon on purity. And in researching, I read a quote, and I'll share the whole quote with you when I do that sermon. But the quote says, every one of us is full of all kinds of things. There's a long list of what we're full of. Prejudice. We're full of it. Every person in this room has prejudicial bones in their body. Now, your prejudice may or may not be racial. That's the first thing that comes to our mind, isn't it? But when your child brings a friend home and that child has a tattoo, does the prejudicial level rise up? Or a certain kind of haircut that you see on a child. I was somewhere the other day, and a young man about 10 years old had gotten his hair cut, and somebody was asking him, why did you get your hair cut that way? I didn't notice anything wrong. Well, the boy said, I didn't do what you're saying. And the person looked at it again and said, oh, yeah, I see now. But you see, the prejudicial level rose up because of a haircut. There might be prejudice in your heart about any number of things, but we all have it. And when we start thinking about a whole list of things that we could talk about, we all have it. So when we start thinking about doing good to everyone, we're going to have to shove aside some prejudice, some feelings that we have, some things that we learned when we were little, or maybe even some things we learn when we're pretty big if we want to be better in our community. First of all, you have to ask yourself, do I really want to be better? What do you think? You want to be better? Only you can answer that. And if you do, how do you accomplish this quarterly goal? We're only going to think about it for a quarter in terms of expressing it every once in a while. We won't even talk about it every Sunday. But every now and then, we're going to raise the question, how are you doing in being better in the community? And what does that take? I just want to share with you tonight just a few things that we have from the heart of God and from the mind of God about one another. Such a powerful, powerful statement that's made over and over again in the Bible, one another. If you're going to accomplish this goal, you're going to have to think more about one another. And you're going to have to act better in ways toward one another. So how do you accomplish that goal? Well, I'd like to suggest to you, first of all, that we become greater servants. The greatest person in the kingdom of God, period. You just take the whole world, is going to be the one who serves the greatest. I read that in a good book. Have you ever read that? The person that serves the most is going to be the greatest. The greatest person in the Henderson Church is going to be the one who serves the most. It may be that person who gets dirty mowing somebody's grass and sweat and dust get all over them, or he gets greasy fixing something for somebody, or who does something like take someone to the doctor, who does any kind of service for other people. It's not necessarily the person that stands in front of you preaching or the person standing in front of you teaching a fantastic Bible class. It's not necessarily one of the persons who has some authority role or some work role that's assigned by the congregation. The person who is willing to work and serve the greatest. Peter said, as each has received a gift. In the first century, that could have been a miraculous gift. In this century, it is the ability to do some things. I was riding yesterday with a really dear friend who happens to be a cousin. And she was just saying, I so want to develop the gift of visiting people in the hospital, in the nursing homes. I want to develop that gift. Is that a gift? Have you ever been in the hospital and somebody came to see you? Felt like you received a present, didn't you? The presence of someone is a great gift. The encouraging words, the prayers that we can offer, those are all great gifts. But you see, in order to be a servant, it's going to require me giving up me for a little while. Me giving up myself. So it may require a personal sacrifice, or it may require some discomfort to go visit someone who's in some kind of trouble. I've been down to the Henderson jail several times in my life with the school, with the church. I don't like that. There's a certain level of discomfort that I have when I am doing some things. And if I'm going to be a servant, however, I've got to overcome that level of discomfort and I've got to do what I need to do. So I work at that. Here's our passage that we're looking at. Let's not grow weary in well-doing. Boy, I'm so tired of helping them. They don't act like they care at all. I've done all of these things for them, and they've never said thank you. Does the Lord say, don't be weary in well-doing if people are kind and generous and care about what you've done for them and they thank you? Is that what the Bible says? The Bible says, do not be weary in well-doing. Stop worrying about you getting thanked or you getting credit if you're there. Most of you, thank God, are not there. But if you are, stop that. Why? Because Paul says in due season, we will reap. Oh, but I'm giving up. I am personally sacrificing. I'm putting myself at a high level of discomfort sometimes. Paul says, stop being weary. Don't grow tired of serving and doing, because you're going to be able to reap in due season. So then, as we have opportunity, you ever have any opportunities to help people? You ever come up with opportunities to pray for people or with people? Do you have ever an opportunity to encourage somebody personally by saying kind things to them or doing something kind for them? We're to help everyone. It doesn't matter who they are. Everyone, especially those of the household of faith. So if you're going to be better, you're going to serve one another. Secondly, you're going to encourage one another. The most discouraging thing in this world for the church is a discouraging church member. Not necessarily a discouraged church member, but a discouraging church member. One who discourages other people. You may do that in any number of ways, but Paul is begging the people in Thessalonica, you ought to encourage one another, build one another up, and look at this, I love this, just as you are doing. You see, the Thessalonians were encouraging people. Paul said, keep that up. Don't grow weary. If you go back to the last slide, don't grow weary in well-doing. You keep on encouraging one another. I was reading about encouragement, and that statement there comes from a soldier who was being interviewed. And in the interview, he was being asked about the war and about people dying and about people being wounded. He said, I would rather, if I'm shooting at somebody, I would rather wound them than kill them. And here's why. If you kill somebody and that person drops dead on the battlefield in the middle of the battle, that person's the only one taken out of the battle. But if you injure somebody, you wound somebody, you take that wounded person out of the battle, but it takes two more people to carry that person to safety. He said, wounding somebody in a battle is more valuable in order to get people out of the fray. You know, I think the devil understands that. What do you think? Because there are people that wound others. And those wounded people take help. They need help. And it takes people to help. And there are circumstances where that kind of discouragement that takes people out of the spiritual fray, the walk of life, they need to be living. It takes so many people to help. And we discourage one another sometimes, and we wound one another sometimes. I was reading about Stonewall Jackson. He had just fought, and they had won a big battle. And they were coming back from that battle, and they came up on a unit that started firing at them. And in the fire, the gunfire, the story said, Stonewall Jackson was hit three times. One of those times was in an arm, and one was in a leg, and one was somewhere else that I don't remember, but he either had his arm or his leg, where he was wounded, amputated. And the story says he died as a result of not being able to get over those wounds. The people that shot him were in his own army, wounded and died from those wounds from his own people. Do you think you could think of anybody in the Henderson Church that is somewhere dead spiritually because somebody else wounded them, hurt them in some way, said something, did something, and they died as a result of those wounds? That's what happens sometimes. Hebrews 3 and verse 13 says, but exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You see, you may be sitting there saying, yeah, a lot of those dead people out there are dead because of their own thinking. I would say that's probably true in almost every case. But I'm telling you this, I might be responsible for wounding them with my tongue, with my behavior, with my thoughtlessness. I might be responsible for that and have some responsibility. I need to be exhorting, encouraging them today. So long it is called today. Because in a state of discouragement, whether it's their fault, my fault, your fault, anybody's fault, in a state of discouragement, it is easy to lose sight of the value of your soul. You want to be better in the community? Encourage one another. If you want to be better we need to bear burdens for other people. There's some people in this congregation that are so good at this. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You young folks ought to be thinking about some things here. We have some widows who could use some help sometime. You ought to check into that personally. Not wait for Bill and Jared to say, hey, we want to try to figure out some good things we can do, and we're going to ask, and as a youth group, you think about something you can do. Mow grass, clean a house, wash some dishes. I don't know what needs to be done, but sometimes there's so much that needs to be done. Bear one another's burdens. We've got people in this congregation who will pull up to people's house with a lawnmower and just start mowing. They don't ask. They just do. They are trying to bear one another's burdens. There are people that will say, listen, I am coming tomorrow. I know you have a doctor's appointment, and I want to take you to the doctor's appointment. Is there anywhere else you need to go besides the doctor's appointment? We have people right here sitting in this room that do those kinds of things. They want to be better. We're such a private world. I don't want you knowing anything about my business. I don't want you understanding my hurts, my pain, my sorrow. It's kind of embarrassing when I'm in trouble because, you see, I think because of who I am and where I am and what I am, I need to be able to solve every problem I have. Well, let me tell you, I cannot. I cannot. Every now and then, I need your help. I remember several years ago, I was sick with pneumonia for several weeks, and I couldn't do anything. And I heard a lawnmower out in my backyard. And I went out, and my grass was about that tall. It definitely needed mowing. A really good friend of mine had come over, didn't ask anything, didn't tell me they were coming, got on my lawnmower, cranked it up, was out in the middle of the yard, and I heard that, and I looked out just to see who it was, and I had broken the belt on my lawnmower, and he was trying to figure out how to get that lawnmower working. And I went out and said, no way, no belt. Thank you, however. He was trying to bear somebody's burden. What a great opportunity that we have to help people. We need to get into other people's lives enough to be able to know how to help. You want to be better in the community? You look around you at everyone, especially those of the household of faith, and you pick up a load off of them and do what they need done. There's not a person in this room accountable to God, but who can pray? You can seek God's blessings for people. There are people sitting in this room who need prayer. Lonely people, alone people, sick people. There are probably some people in this room who are financially pressed in one way or another. Maybe poor decisions, maybe just a job loss, maybe some kind of problem. There are relationship issues among people that we know and we love and we hear about it, and we need to be praying for one another. James 5:16 even says, confess your faults, your sins to one another. Pray for one another that you might be healed. It's a good thing sometimes if we know somebody is not faithful to God in some way to go to them and say, I just want to pray with you. And if they won't let you pray with them, you can say, I am going to be praying for you. No one can stop you from doing that. Pray for people who need prayer. Why? some of the best people in the world are listening to me in this room. You're good people. You're God's people. And God says to us in this passage, the English Standard Version, the prayer of a righteous person, one who is made right because of faithfulness to God, the prayer of that righteous person is power. It has great power in its working. And then you read in Colossians 4 and verse 12 about Epaphras. Paul said, he is one of you. He was one of the Colossian brethren. He said he's a servant of Jesus Christ. He greets you. He is always struggling on your behalf in prayer. I'll tell you this. With the kind of group that we have here, very talented, highly educated, very varied in a number of ways, Billy Smith and Roy Sharp need your prayers. We need your prayers. We thank you. Often, those who pray publicly pray for Roy and Billy, and we need it. But our Bible teachers constantly need that. We get that every now and then, but we need that often. But at home, when you are praying, we need to think about the needs of so many people. Pray for one another. Be like Epaphras. Struggle with people who are struggling on their behalf in prayer, seeking God's blessings and God's help. You see, he's praying and struggling for this church that they may stand mature and fully assured of the will of the Lord. You want to be better in the community? You pray for one another. And then, here's one that we don't want to touch. We just don't want to touch this one. And that is, be accountable to one another. When someone starts getting in trouble with their lives and you choose to go to them, they may be saying, I don't want you to mess with me. I don't want you to talk with me. I don't want you to do what you are wanting to do. But we need to be people who want and beg them to be accountable with us to God. Because whether we choose it or not, we are going to be accountable to God. If any one of you, you see, that includes me. That includes you. If anyone is caught in transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. But there's the warning. You need to keep a watch on yourself, lest you be tempted. We need that. You see, other people's sins are not just their own business. Think about what Achan's sin. When he took those items that he was specifically told not to take, a whole battle was lost because of him. He lost his whole family because of his sin. It's not just about that one person. I've talked to people and they've said, it's my life. Well, the choice to live that way is your life. But the effects of our lives are like the waves when we drop a pebble in the water. It just keeps going. We affect everybody around us. My sin will affect you if I'm caught in sin. My sin would affect my family, my friends. And so it's not just about me. It's not just my own business. So we need to be accountable. Look at 1 Corinthians 5 and what the sin of this man who was caught in an act of immorality that would not even be named among the Gentiles. Look at what it was doing. Paul said, you, as a congregation of people, you are sick. You are struggling because of how this man's sin is affecting you. We need accountability one toward another. We can be better only if we want to be better. But if we want to be better, it can happen for every one of us. I want to make one suggestion in a practical way as we close this lesson. Every one of you, think about one thing you can do every day for someone else. As we look at service and encouragement and prayer and accountability to one another, think about one thing a day, just one thing. How long would it take you to pray for someone who is really struggling with an illness, with a relationship issue, with any kind of problem that you are aware of? I don't even have to be aware of it. God is, and God will take a look. Think about one thing you can do every day. You'll be better. If you're already doing 10, do 11. You'll be better. Better in the community. Is it just something that we're going to put on the screen? Or is it something we're going to practice? We all need to be better. It might be that you need to be better in your life as a Christian. You may have let life slip from you as a child of God, and you're living apart from God in a spiritual sense. You can be better starting tonight. Confess your sins to this group and just say to God, say to this people, that is not how I want to live. I want to change. You can be better. If you know what you need to do to become a Christian, if you know you need to repent of your sins and confess Christ's name, you know you need to be buried with Him in baptism, you can be better if you choose it. And our prayer is that you will come if you need as we stand and as we sing.